You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Exodus, chapter 14, verse 19. And I do want to express my gratitude for the privilege of being in these services. It's been such a blessing to be a part of this camp meeting. I certainly do appreciate all the wonderful preaching and the singing that's blessed our hearts and lifted up our hearts. I've been blessed, convicted, and repented, and helped, and the Lord has certainly spoken to my own heart. And I've been such a blessing to be with all these dear people of court, all you dear people, these dear men of God. Appreciate Brother Milby so much. And it's always a blessing to be able to hear him preach. And I certainly feel honored and blessed of the Lord to have this privilege to be in the services this week. Thank you for the place you provided for me to stay, for your prayers. And I do ask that you continue to pray that God will use us in His service. I love this church. And I love Brother Nee Smith. And I love Brother Joel as well. He's God's man. And it's so encouraging to see young men like this, as there are others here as well, that are still preaching the same gospel, going the same way. And we love you, Brother Joel, and appreciate all your labors for the Lord. You'll find now the scripture in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came to And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And they took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, there remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Revelation 15, 1 and 2. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, "I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, And I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Let's bow our heads, please, while we pray. Our Father, we bow in your presence tonight. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin. Thank you for this day, for the blessings and the mercies of it that have been new. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in this service and in these services. Thank you for each man of God that has stood in this place. Thank you for the word that we've heard, for the wonderful songs that's lifted up our hearts in praise and adoration and gratitude to our God. Thank you for this church, for this dear pastor and his family. And I pray your continued blessings on him as he labors in this place and does all the work that you've called him to do. Thank you for this church, for its testimony, its influence for Christ. I pray that every need of this meeting shall be met financially and spiritually. Lord, when we leave tonight, may we be aware that God has spoken to us and that God has said something to our hearts. Lord, I am keenly conscious that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes to help us and to empower us. Pray for Brother Milby as he comes. Thank you for this great man of God, this great soldier of the cross. And I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to give him physical strength and the spiritual wisdom and anointing that he needs as he preaches your word. Touch now thy servant. I pray that you'll illuminate my mind and illuminate my thoughts, Lord. And I pray that you'll loose my tongue and that the gospel may go forth in its power. Should there be one among us that is a stranger to your grace, may this be the hour to salvation. Drive back every satanic force, every demonic spirit, that the Spirit of God shall have His way in every heart. And we will praise and bless your dear name for what you're pleased to do in this hour. In the name of our blessed Redeemer, I pray, amen. Amen. I've been speaking to you this week about the gospel according to Moses. I spoke to you last night about the substitution of the gospel as seen in the Passover Lamb. I want to speak to you tonight about the song of the gospel. And of course, only the people of God have a song in their heart. And I appreciate the way the Lord has prepared the table for us tonight, even in the very beginning, with this wonderful singing. And I believe that I have heard singing in the Holy Ghost. And believe me, that's a rare thing in our day, but it's singing that just lifts up your heart, makes you want to praise God, reminds you where God brought you from and what you were and who He is and where we're going and all that we have in Jesus Christ. And then the thoughts of Brother Joel that he shared with us, God put on his heart. And so I think it's in order tonight to talk about of the song of the gospel. And only Christianity has a song. There's not one religion in the world that has a song except Christianity. Now the world, of course, the false religions, they all have their sad, dirgeful chants. And there are others that go through chants and all that. But the redeemed of the Lord have a song. And we have a song in our heart because God put it there. We weren't born with it. We didn't get it through our great abilities. And we didn't get it because of anything that we have done. But according to His grace, hath He saved us. And so as we look at the song of Moses and I wanted to read to you the account of the Red Sea that led to this great song. The Israelites had just crossed the Red Sea. They'd come down to the sea. And the Egyptians were close on their heels. Craggy, rocky mountains on each side of them. And the people started complaining immediately. And said, well, Moses,
Wasn't there enough graveyards in Egypt to please you? You brought us out of this place so we can be buried here. But Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then Moses stretched out his hand. God caused the waters to roll back. And the Israelites marched over on dry land. And of course, you find the first record of singing in the Bible. I am sure that Abraham must have sung and had a song in his heart. And the other patriarchs as well. But this is the first record you find in the Bible of singing. But it's not the last. Because I think it's interesting. The first song ever recorded was the song of Moses. And one of the last recorded and is going to be recorded is still the song of Moses. Revelation 15:3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God and of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord, thou Lord God Almighty. Now, of course, we're told by historians that there were probably at least 2 million men, along with their families, who marched out of the land of Egypt on the night of the Passover. And so that this was a great crowd that had just crossed through the Red Sea. And then they sang praise unto the Lord. Now, I doubt very seriously if they were much tuned to music. I don't think that they'd have made a Gaither homecoming. But that joy in their heart, God had just delivered them. And they were praising God through song. And after all, that's what our song should be. Songs that are based upon Christ and upon the finished work of the Son of God. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other crown is sinking sand. Never had the shore of the Red Sea ever heard any singing like this or any other sea as far as that is concerned. And I'm sure that this is a wonderful song when the Israelites sung praise unto the Lord and declared the Lord hath triumphed gloriously. For he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And so, as we think about this song, you'll note the time of this song. Now, God gives songs in the night season. Men give songs in the daytime. But God gives songs in the night season and all the day long. The redeemed, of course, readily identify with the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. I, of course, was not present to witness the song of Moses the first time. I wasn't in that crowd. But I'll be in that crowd the next time when they sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. I'll be right slap dab in the middle of it. And as someone has said, if you could go through the future and take a picture of these future events, and you could take a picture of that multitude in heaven that no man can number, all dressed in white robes, waving palm branches of victory, crying, worthy is the Lamb. If you could somehow get in the future and take a picture, you'd see my picture right in the middle of it. I don't know where it'd be, but I'd be right slap. I will be right slap in the middle of it. I'm going that way. I'm going there by the grace of God. And because of God's wonderful grace, I'll have the privilege to sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. The Israelites had cause to rejoice. They've been delivered from the land of bondage. They've been delivered through the Red Sea, and the sea had gone back and destroyed their enemies. But thank God, one day when all the smoke of battle has all cleared away and I'm safe on Zion's hill, I'll have a song to sing, a praise and glory and honor to God. God said, the Bible said in Exodus 14:30, Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hands of the Egyptians. And the Egyptians saw, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. One nation is defeated and is laying dead, meat for buzzards. But on the other shore, they're saved. They've been delivered by blood, the blood of the Lamb. They've been delivered by the hand of God and the power and the might of God. Now there was no singing in the land of bondage. No record they sung when they were in the land of Egypt. His brother Joel said a while ago, the Israelites again had to hang up their harps on the willows because they'd lost their song in a strange land. But there was nothing to sing about while being a slave. Nothing but despair. Nothing but groaning. But when the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea, and the waters had rolled between them and their former land of bondage, their slavery was a thing of past. It was gone, separated by the Red Sea now. And they would never, never return to live in the land of Egypt. Now, of course, that mixed multitude in that crowd that wanted to go back. But the Lord's people certainly never do desire to be in the land of bondage and have to be under that load of guilt and sin and shame. And the Lord had saved them and had delivered them from the hands of the Egyptians. Now the Bible says that when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, God had caused the waters to roll back and heaped it up, congealed it on each side. In other words, it was like walking through a blue bowl of jello. And I believe when they walked through the pathway of the Red Sea, I think they kicked up dust while they walked. And the glory of the Lord settled over that pathway. So it was probably just like a lighted tunnel. Walking through in the glory of God and set free. And then when they were safely through, the Egyptians followed them. When they get out into the sea, they realize, something's not right. And they realize the seas, waters are rolling back. And they took off the wheels of the chariot and tried to make it back. But they didn't make it. The Lord destroyed every one of them. Now the liberals tell us that this really wasn't a Red Sea. It was a Reed Sea. And that the water was just about 2 to 4 inches deep. I think that's a greater miracle. Here's these Egyptians after these Israelites. And their chariots are coming. But if the water's just 2 to 4 inches deep, they must have been wee little chariots. Wee little men that were following the Israelites. Don't you leave a word of it. Leave the book. It's the Red Sea, and God opened up the water. Let them cross through on high ground and cause the water to roll back and destroy his enemy. Hallelujah. Our God does reign, and salvation is complete and is of the Lord. And yet put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. God gets his singer, someone said. God found his choir in the mire. As a matter of fact, these singers were once sinkers. But he lifted us up out of the mire clay and placed our feet up on a rock. And I have a song in my heart, and I'm happy. Because he set me free. Because he has justified me freely by his grace. Paul says that our Father told those Jews, as he said, more of a brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. Have it all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. and are all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock, and that rock that followed them, that rock was Christ.
Amen.
It is the Lord Jesus who has saved us and delivered to the children of Israel through the Red Sea. Is a type of that deliverance that the Lord Jesus has effected in our hearts.
Amen.
And now they sing. There's no record that the Israelites sung that night of the Passover. But I'm sure with fear and trembling in their hearts as they waited. And there's no record, of course, that there was any singing that night. But now they're singing. They're free. Egypt is all behind them. And there's a sea behind it. Now a person may sail on the Red Sea of sin to hell, or the Red Sea of blood to heaven. A person can be washed in the blood of Calvary's Lamb and be saved from the wrath to come. And I am saved because of what Christ did. He did it all. And we rejoice in the work of Christ as a pillar of fire. The glory, Shekinah, glory of God dwelt over the tabernacle. And the pillar of fire that had gone by in front of the Israelites at night now moved to the rear of the Israelites so that there was light behind. But on the other side to the Egyptians, there was darkness. The world can't figure us out. They just can't get it. They don't know where we're going. We're crazy. We are. We belong to a different world. Our citizenship is in heaven. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not my final home. We're marching the tune of another country and to the tune of another world. Don't try to make yourself acceptable to the world. God has saved us out of the world, separated us from the world, and delivered us from the bondage of sin. And we're just to go back in the world to get men out of the world. And that's the only business we got in the world. And we're not to be worldly when we go. We go with a new message. We go with a song in our heart. We don't lower our standards. We hold high the royal blood-stained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't snivel and grovel at the feet of a godless, graceless world. Our song is of the Lord. And we march to the tune of another world. It was the time of divine manifestation. When we hear of conversions and people turning to the Lord through salvation, hear of real repentance and salvation, a real revival. It's always joyous to the church, to the people of God. But I remind you that we're to praise God at all times,
amen,
in every circumstance,
amen,
in sickness and in health, abounding in wealth, or in poverty's veil. We have a song in our heart, the tune of this song. It's congregational. Sing ye unto the Lord, for I triumph gloriously. And if God has saved you, there's a song in your heart of praise to God.
Amen.
Let our songs abound. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. It is a confident song. There's no doubt in it, not a shadow of doubt of the reality that has taken place in our heart. It declares the fact. When the Israelites sung, they rejoiced over a fact. The horse and the rider are dead. They're gone. They're buried in the sea. And we rejoice not in just opinions or ideas. We rejoice in facts. It is done. It is done. The finished work is done in my heart. And no one can undo it. No witch or wizard can put a spell on me and remove what God's grace did in my heart. It is eternal. It is everlasting. It is a song based on the eternality of God. It's a confident song. Every song that we sing should be songs that are worshipful and praiseful to our God. And then the theme of this song, the Lord is my strength and song. He's become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare Him an habitation. My Father's God and I will exalt Him. Our song is all about the Lord. There's nothing in this song about the deeds of Moses, the deeds of Aaron, or the pride of Pharaoh, or the craft of Jannes and Jambres, but it's dedicated to the work and the doings of God. God did it all. God opened the sea. God closed the sea. God delivered us from our enemies. And I am redeemed and saved through His blood by the finished authoritative work of Christ. And I base that salvation on His Word. These things have I written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. Once Napoleon, while he was emperor in one of his campaigns, he was reviewing his troops one day, and all of a sudden the horse of Napoleon bolted, and one of the privates in the army stepped forward and steadied the horse of the Emperor Napoleon and probably saved his life. And Napoleon said to that private, "Thank you, Captain." And the captain went and stood with the officers, not with the other privates, the other soldiers. And one of the officers said, "Who told you that you could stand with us? Who told you that you had the privilege to stand here? Who said to you that you're a captain?" And the young man, without saying a word, Napoleon had been watching the whole thing from his horse, and that young man just turned around and pointed to Napoleon and said, "He said so. And I'm saved because He said so. It's based on His blood. It's based on His work. And our salvation is based on the fact of the Lord's salvation. The Lord is my strength. Israel had no strength. She had cried out in bondage under cruel taskmasters, making bricks without straw. But the Lord delivered them with a high hand. The Lord was their strength and their might. And Moses had said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are Thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of saints, Master."